You may not recognize it by the language of love, but I want to talk about evangelism for the very reason I said before. I believe the day is urgently in need of bold Christians. But we got to be smart about it. It's amazing how you can get shut down really, really quick if you come at others that are without Christ in a wrong way. They won't even listen to you. But there are ways in which they'll listen almost every single time. So I wanted to start off with this passage. It's Matthew chapter 22, and it's verse 37 through 40, and I want you to read it with me. Okay, right here. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And you'd say, well, how did we get into this in regards to evangelism? First of all, I want to ask this question. How are we to love God like we are called to in these verses? Now think about this. How are we to love God? It says we're to love the Lord, that God, with all of our heart, all of our mind, with all our soul, every aspect of us. That's obvious. But what does it look like? How can you put your love for God more into practice? We really need to just get out beyond ourselves and get engaged. What would it look like? What would this, how would it flow out of us? How will the growing love for God impact those in your community of influence? If you really had this overflow of this love of God like it's supposed to be, how would that impact those that God has already placed around you, that are around you, whether you're impacting them or not? Well, you're impacting one way or the other. But if you're really on fire for the Lord, I'm telling you what, it makes a difference in other people's lives. The first question is re-asked here. And I put up some verses that came to my mind when I asked myself this question in my own personal devotions. I said, all right, what should this love for God look like in my own personal walk? As I prayed about it, thought about it, this verse came to mind. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 said, "But as he who called you is holy, also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy." And you say, well, how does that manifest love? Well, you have to understand the word holy. It means to be set apart for him. I'm telling you, if you really are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be set apart. You're going to be motivated by something different than the world is, and you'll be different. That's what that verse is commanding us to do. It's not recommending us to do. It's commanding us to do this. I'm telling you, as I go through these verses, you've got to ask yourself, is there any way you can make an argument that you're one of them? That you've been set apart? You are conducting yourself in a holy manner? Number two, Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine." That's in teaching, showing integrity. Reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. What this is talking about is real character. Christian character that, you know, they may not like what you believe, but they have to say, you know what, that's a good man. That's a good woman. That's honorable. I may disagree, but that's honorable. Literally, we're at the heat of a political battle. And what both conventions, what are they trying to do? They're trying to make us believe that the candidate fits this type of a reference. I think the argument's a little tough in some situations, but at any rate, they're trying to talk about integrity. Third verse that came to mind. John chapter 13 says, a new commandment I give to you. He was stressing it in a new way. I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, it is really, really important to recognize that when it's talking about love, it's not talking about what we often define as love. It is talking about us sacrificially giving ourselves to meet the needs of others. We are to be sacrificially giving of ourselves to... It is... It's like this. When I had the phone call from John, now I'm just trying to manifest what this might look like. John calls up and he was in a lot of pain, and I was talking to him on the phone. I said, John, I'll drive over there. I'll get the, he couldn't sit down. Couldn't sit down. That hurt too much to sit down. So he didn't want to get into a car and or get in an ambulance and go to the hospital. And as I talked to him and prayed with him, I finally, the Lord laid on my heart. He said, you know what? I can bring our church bus over, and he could stand in the church bus, and I could drive him to the hospital. He wouldn't let me do that. He therefore got into the car with his wife and drove, and she drove him in. But that's what I'm talking about. We should be asking of ourselves, not how do we get out of this thing? What in the world can we do to help? And really mean it. And then creatively do everything we can to demonstrate the love that is intended. So we want to be holy. We want to be individuals of character, honesty, integrity, good conversation, say the right things in the right way. And we ought to be demonstrating an attitude that says, everybody else is more important than I am. I will do whatever I can to honor God. How are we to love God like we are called to in these verses? I have two statements. The way I summed up in my own devotional time, I ended up saying, all right, I've got one. I want to, by being the person he has asked me to be. That's that integrity aspect. Setting myself apart to be different. And I'm not saying myself, I'm talking about each one of us. That's to personally make this decision. So I am going to be the individual that I ought to be, independent of what the consequences of being that person is. You understand what I'm saying? It may not be popular to be the man or the woman that God has called you to be. It may, in our culture, seem like the right thing to do is just lie about it. It'll be easier on you. No. Be people of integrity. So we want to be the person that He, God, has asked us to be. But there is another piece that's equally in this combination. And it's not only being the person that we ought to be, we ought to be ministering to others as He has asked us to do. It's be and do. Being is not enough. Just like doing things is not enough if we aren't manifesting the right character. Well, what I'm saying is it ought to be character and it ought to be conduct. Does that make sense to everyone? That's how our neighbors, our other family members, others around us will say, well, I don't fully get you, but I'll tell you what, I can recognize there's something different about you. How are we to love God like we are called to in these verses? How are we to put our love for God more into practice? And how will we be growing, our growing love for God, how will it impact those in our influence? Now, I struggled to make this very practical. First of all, the summary thought is be and then minister and do what you ought to do. Okay, so you want to be the person that God has called you to be and to minister to others as He has called us to do. That's the summary thought. But then I started to think about something I had read a long time ago. This is nothing new, and I'm going to just rifle through it, and you can look it up. It's on the internet if you want to read it again. The book is available. I want to just talk about the love languages, which is a tangible way and for which we can evangelize in our sphere of influence. Words of affirmation is something that our world desperately needs. It is referred to in a book on marriage about these are different types of styles of love. Words of affirmation, some people live on it. It's really, really important to them. It's just the characteristic of it is. Here's what the author said about it. Actions don't always speak louder than words. If this is your love, language, unsolicited compliments mean the world to you. Hearing the words, I love you, are important. Hearing the reasons behind that love sends your spirit skyward. I can honestly say that this is something in my relationship with Pam is really, really, it is who I am to her. I probably tell Pam, my daughter's in the back, you've grown up with me, I probably tell my wife that I love her 20 times in a day, maybe more. Maybe a lot more than that, actually. I should have counted today. Insults can leave you shattered and not easily forgotten. In other words, which is, for me, that this gets really personal because it is where I live. I struggle, and Dr. McLaughlin, I can remember when I was earlier in the ministry, we had this one discussion on regards to the role of the pastor. It is amazing how you can have four or five people come up and say, yeah, this is really a good Sunday morning, this is a good message, and one person comes up and has a negative comment, and it is hard to shake that one comment. I should be stronger than that, but it really is. Okay, and the second one is quality time, and I've got to hurry here. This is an issue that is really important. Vernacular of quality time, and nothing says, I love you, like full undivided attention. Being there for this type of person is critical, but really being there with the TV off, the fork and knife down, and all the chores and tasks on standby makes you significant other feel truly special and loved. Okay, now, as much as I was saying the other represents me, this is a challenge for me. I am an electronic addict. It is hard for me to, I do two things all the time at the same time. I'll even find myself talking to people and checking my text messages. Not good. Clearly something I'm working on. Distractions, postponed dates, they really hurt people. So I'm saying to you, one, watch your words. Number two, watch the way you use time. That's the way you can demonstrate the love of God in another person's life. Number three is receiving gifts. Don't mistake the love language for materialism. The receiver of gifts thrives on the love, thoughtfulness, and efforts behind the gift. If you speak this language, a perfect gift or gesture shows that you are known, you are cared for, and you are prized above whatever was sacrificed to bring the gift to you. I'll give you an example of this one. I went to see, in this couple weeks that I had off, I drove to Michigan and to see my oldest granddaughter. It was on her 16th birthday. I brought her flowers from her dad, a dozen roses for her. My wife went up to her room. She wanted to show Pam her room, so Pam goes up there. Now, my son was thinking whether the flowers were the right thing. You know, it should be something more. Pam was adamant. She says, no, I think flowers are the right thing. Good move. Well, she goes up into the room. This is so touching. On her buffet, little thing in her bedroom, was two dried roses. What were they? The last two flowers that her father had given her. Gifts matter to some. Okay? They matter big time. For others, like myself, I don't click the same way on that one, but some it's a critical item. So one, it's time. Sometimes it's giving. Sometimes it is saying the right words. And I'm going to go on to acts of service. Can vacuum the floor really be an expression of love? Absolutely. Acts of service, critical. The willingness to just do things when, even when people don't necessarily, you know, like acts of service. I drove up to the church this, on Monday. And I saw a particular individual doing the yard work around here. It was a hot day. Our property has won awards for our landscaping and for the beauty of the flowers and the likes. That doesn't happen just with, it doesn't just automatically turn out that way. Now I came up here and Zudin, you were here laboring, and when it was, I don't know, like 90 degrees, I got hot just driving up, and then you were out there working. I really did feel guilty then. However, you notice I didn't grab a rake. I kept going. Forgive me for that. But at any rate, acts of service are a way in which we can demonstrate genuine love. And then the fourth one is the physical touch. This really matters in a physical relationship. But let me say, this is more than just in an intimacy of a marriage. This is really, really critical. We do see it in our congregation in a day and age when physical touch is almost getting to be absolutely nowhere. You know, you just can't do it anymore. But I'll tell you what, for hurting people, reaching out and holding their hand and having a word of prayer with them, in some cases giving a person a hug, is a huge testimony that you care, and means the world to people. Okay. I'm running out of time. My point to all of us is we need to be the person that God has called us to be, and we need to minister as God has called us to minister. And we can minister in these tangible ways with our words, with our time, with our touch, with our acts of service. May the Lord challenge your heart with these thoughts.